Today is the 10th of December, 03, and we are closing down our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. I'm sort of stressed out leaving it, but I'm anticipating. I've been working on Job, and we're going to have a lot of fun with Job, and just seeing some wonderful things with Job. We talked a little bit last night about death, what happens as soon as we die. I've been working on that, and a lot of views and a lot of varying viewpoints on that interpretation, so we'll look at that a little bit. I want to thank the men and help today move the stale. We did get the stale moved, and Jim Langston and I share the opinion that we'll be surprised if Stell sees 04, but she just really lingering, but we did get her moved into from one place to another, and the family will probably have to go through that again very soon. So be in prayer for Stell, be in prayer for the family, and I'm just so appreciative that our church came through. Boy, it was just one point I didn't know if anybody was going to be there, but as it turned out, we had quite a crew, and everybody seemed to work real well together, and we got it done. One thing I've learned about this church, we can move fast. We can move out of buildings, houses. We're the Baltimore Colts have nothing on us, boy. We can do it too. Yeah, practice. But let's prepare ourselves for our study, the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to these things that we can be stabilized in them when circumstances of life just are not what we would like them to be. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to assemble together, open the Scriptures, and see what an awesome God you are. See the things, Heavenly Father, that you have done and given to us. We pray that your Spirit will be with us tonight. Open our eyes and ears to the things that you would have us to see and hear, Father. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're on the 28th principle, a thing that happens in regard to who and what you are in Christ. Remember, you can believe what Satan says about you, which will therefore lead to stress, anxiety, and depression, and you live under Satan's lie of my self-worth is my performance, plus others' opinion of me, certain others' opinion of me. Or you can believe what God says about you. If you believe what God says about you, you can live peacefully, quietly, regardless of the circumstances, and have an inner peace, an inner joy, and fulfill a purpose in your life that may not seem like it is much until the light is turned on at the return of the Lord. So we've come now to the 28th one, and this one is that you are inseparably united with all three members of the Godhead. You are inseparably united with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, last week we finished up, but we were looking, your union with God the Father. You are in God the Father. And we looked at 1 Thessalonians 1 and 2 Thessalonians 1. Then we noted the second principle. You are in God the Father, but God the Father is also in you. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. One God and Father of us all is over all, through all, and in all. Then we looked at 1 John 4, 14 and 15. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Very clear. And then we went on to verse 16. And after salvation, we have come to know from Scripture, teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, and believe, that's the real issue, not just knowing truth, but believing it, the love which God has for us. People, God has a love for you. God has a love for you. And you experience who and what you are in Christ when you live by faith. How do we abide? How do we abide? Look what it says, verse 16. And we, and meaning after salvation, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And again, the question has to be asked. How do we abide in his love? That's a crucial issue. You can just give great glowing sermons on how wonderful that is to abide in love. People walk out and never know how to abide in the love. They think they're doing it. How do we abide in his love? We do it by faith. Just like we entered into it by faith, we live it by faith. So people, if you suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression, here's the reason for getting up and becoming who you are in Christ. God the Father is in you, and you are in the Father, which means that you can abide in his love. This was the motivation of Jesus Christ going to the cross. This is where we picked up now. This is where we left off. This was the motivation of Jesus Christ in going to the cross. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 10. Gospel of John 14, 10. Do you not believe? See, remember, believe. That's people, it is amazing to me how it's missed. Boy, you got to make him Lord. You got to invite him in your heart. You got to walk an aisle to be saved. You got to confess. You got to repent. You got to feel sorry. You got to set aside to be restored. If you just let the Spirit show you all, it's faith. We just saw it in 1 John 4:16 and believe. Now John 14:10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, abiding in me, does his works. So the cross is the work of God the Father. And when you will abide in Christ in you, God in you, in your life, people, you will do the will of God. Now, Jesus Christ is in God the Father. God the Father, off of the John 14:10. Jesus Christ is in God the Father. God the Father is in him. Jesus Christ lived his life in reference to God the Father. This is what you can do if you will know and believe that you are in God the Father. God the Father is in you. And then you live in that state. People, we're no doubt. He has set the pace for us. He's told us how to live. He is in the Father. The Father is in him. What he does is the Father, abiding in him. Same thing with you and I. Father is in us. We are in the Father. Therefore, our life is doing his works. So, all right, you're suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression. Maybe what's happened to you at some point in your past, when you were a child, little girl, little boy, things happened in your life as an adult maybe, teenager, adult, divorce, crisis, things that have happened in your life. You don't feel like it. It's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Forget your circumstances. Forget people. And remember, God's in you and you are in him. Stand up and start walking that way. Now let's stop a moment, if you please. We're in the midst of looking who you are in Jesus Christ. Do you believe what God says about you? Who you are. Are you going to believe what Satan says and what other people say? God says he's in you. God says you're in him. This could change your life if you believe it and live it. It could change your life. It's the reason not to stay in the suffering of stress, anxiety, and depression. Intimacy with God the Father can change your life. And I pray that you'll have this intimacy by means of the Spirit. I really do, people. It's been my experience. that very few Christians have an intimacy with God the Father. And I sometimes word it this way, just kind of prick your thinking so that you'll get along with it, because they're just stuck in the area of Jesus Christ. Just stuck in Jesus. But let me remind you, why did Jesus Christ come? He came to bring us to the Father. Greater is the one that sent me than me. He came to bring us to the Father, people. You're not slying one or three in one. People get so upset when I talk about walking by faith in the Spirit. Oh, what about Jesus Christ? Well, what about God the Father? Why aren't you offended that I don't say God the Father? They're three in one. And they have a purpose. And they have different things they're doing in regard to us. Let me just talk to you. This isn't part of you. Well, it is part of you and the Father and the Father and you. But just to help you, those of you that are experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, let me just give you a couple of things, some things here, and I'm going to go through them kind of quickly. First of all, there is encouragement in God. Encouragement in God. Now, I'm going to take time here at this church, and for you, those of you that are listening, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 23. I want to do this. I want you to see it. Because if you see these are the kinds of things in a Bible church, we get going, we get so advanced, we sometimes leave the very basics. And we don't want to do that. I watch professional football players, and I think the most aggravating thing to me in watching a professional football game in the football season is seeing professional football players that don't know how to tackle. When I was playing in high school, junior high school, the coach would say, "Hey, you look like you're tackling your sister," and that's what they look like. And you just go, "Man, that's just basic." And then sometimes you'll hear the announcers point out to you, if you didn't see it, he took his eyes off the ball. Well, you learn, that's the first thing you learn in football: keep your eyes on the ball, get the ball before you run. But here's a guy making $500,000, and he takes his eyes off. Now, I'm not judging or criticizing. I'm pointing out, people, we've got to have those basics of walking by faith. Encouragement is in God. 1 Samuel 23, look with me at verse 16. "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose, went to David, Horish, and encouraged him in God." People, I want to encourage you, if you're suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, in God the Father. Just to encourage you in Him. Secondly, hope in God. Hope in God. Look with me at Psalms 42. Psalms 42. Psalm 42, verse 11. Psalm 42, verse 11. "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me?" You ever feel like that, those of you that experience stress, anxiety, and depression? Now look what David says. Hope in God. "For I shall yet praise Him." He's talking to his soul. He's talking to himself. Hope in God. "For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance, and my God, even my God." This is so powerful if you experience stress, anxiety, and depression. You have no reason. Everything's going wrong, but look what he says. "Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God." Dear people, don't put your hope in your husband, in your wife, in your family, in your friends, in the world, in the system of the world, in money, in good health. Don't put your hope in all those things, as if I had those things, everything would be wonderful. David goes right to the heart of it. Hope in God. Another one I want to throw out at you. Boast in God. Boast in God. Now, what's the point here for you? Not in your performance. Not in how moral you are, how much you know, how many charismatic experiences you had, or how much you serve. Don't boast in yourself. Boast in God. It's so close. Look at Psalm 44. Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verse 8. Psalm 44, verse 8. Okay, Psalm 44, verse 8. In God we have boasted all day long. Oh, people, don't boast in your works. Don't boast in what you've done or how good you are, because what if you fail? What if you fail? And even if you don't fail, your boast is idle. But what if you fail? You've had it. So, Psalm 44, 8. In God we have boasted all day long. And we will give thanks to thy name forever. Now, please, when you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, we've dealt with this a couple of times in this series. I know we have, but let me just bring it to memory as we close out. What do I have to give thanks about? That may be going through your mind. My life isn't anywhere. I was raped as a little girl, as a little boy, and it haunted me, and my friends and my work now, and my husband left me, my wife, my life, it's just a mess, and I'm miserable, and all these types of things, and you're talking about giving thanks. People, we are in 28 things to give thanks for. If you don't have anything to give thanks about, just make one list of these things and have them in front of you. And if you're in the power of the Spirit, when you do this, by the time you get started into it, you won't even get all the way through 28, and you're going to start sensing a peace in your soul when these things start becoming a reality and you believe them in the power of the Holy Spirit. In God we have boasted all day long, and we will give thanks to thy name forever, regardless of the circumstances. Now, another one that's obvious, but I'm going to put it here. So we've had encouragement is in God, hope is in God, boast in God, trust in God. Now, we could spend the rest of the night going through verses that deal with this. So let's just note a few while we're here. Look at Psalm 56. Psalm 56. And we're going to read verse 4. In God. By the way, I'm using restraining myself. Those of you that are listening on tapes and on the internet and all, I'm restraining myself because I'd like to read all of the psalms here, the whole psalm of each one of these. But that's something you might want to do. If through the Christmas season, you might be hurting a little bit, lonely, hurt, depressed, not getting what you want, things just aren't the way you wanted. You had Christmas all figured out to be different. 20 years ago, you thought today you'd be there with this and this and this, and nothing's worked out. Nothing's worked out. Don't let that depress you. It's temporal. It's related to the earth. And just read through all of the Psalms that we're noting now. Psalm 56, let's look at verse 4. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust in the person of God. I shall not be afraid. What are you afraid of that's causing your stress, anxiety, and depression? You fear what man will do to you? Fear of illness, fear of death, fear of old age, fear of loneliness, fear of not recovering. Fear your life isn't going to amount to anything. I don't know what you're fearing. But look what he says. I shall not be afraid. I put trust in God. What can man do to me? We've studied this principle before. You've got so, I want you so much to live who you are in Christ. Jump down to verse 10 in this chapter. You'll want to read the whole chapter. But I've got to move on. But you want to read the whole chapter. Verse 10. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now we could go to Psalm 78. And then I'm going to just give you the rest. I won't take the time tonight, but I want to hope that you'll take the time to read them. Psalm 78, you'll want to read this whole beautiful psalm. Let's look at Psalm 78, verse 22. Psalm 78, 22. So putting it negative, but it gives you the idea. Because they did not believe in God and did not trust in His deliverance. People just, we got to learn to just walk by faith in Him. Now let me give you some New Testament passages for you to look at and trust of God. There is Matthew 27, 43. Matthew 27, 43. Mark 11, 22. John 14, 1. 2 Corinthians 1, 9. 1 Peter 1, 21. So we've had encouragement in God, hope in God, boast in God, trust in God. Let me give you another one if you're hurting. Refuge in God. Refuge in God. That's where you take your refuge, people, not in man. Oh, how Israel wanted to go take their refuge with Egypt, go down to Egypt for help. They wanted to go to Babylon for help. They wanted to go everywhere for help. People, our refuge is in God, not in money, not in things on the earth, but in God. Psalm 62. We can look at that because you should be probably have your Bibles here and open. So let's look at Psalm 62, and we'll look at verse 7. Psalm 62, verse 7. On God my salvation or deliverance. Psalm 62, 7. On God my salvation or my deliverance and my glory rest. The rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. I hope you just start having a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Paul says in Galatians, He gives us a spirit crying out in our hearts, Abba, Father. That relationship with Him. Another one, rejoice in God. Rejoice in God. Psalm 63:11. There's your happiness. The next one, confidence in God. Oh, this is so important. Don't put your confidence in the law. Don't put your confidence in your ability to perform. Don't put your confidence in the concept of Satan's lie that my self-worth is my performance. So if I perform, boy, I'll go to bed with a clear conscience. If I don't perform, I'll go to bed with guilt and shame. All those kinds of things, no. Confidence is in God. Turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and those of you writing, we're going to look at verse 7. Now, if you'll notice, we've had Psalm 78, trust in God, verse 22. Now we've got Psalm 78, verse 7. So Psalm 78 is going to be one over the holidays you might want to just have there and read. Okay? Psalm 78, 7. That they should put their confidence in God. And not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Now, there's the kicker. What are His commandments? His commandments are two, faith and love. Faith and love are His commandments, and we've studied that in many different ways in the Bible, but that, we'll put that there. So, confidence in God, His works, not your works, His works. Let me give you another one. Exalt in God. Exalt in God. Now, a lot of times, Christians are very little self-righteous about it. Oh, I don't boast or anything, but people, if you live by Satan's law, if you live by the law, there is an exaltation. It's if I did this. I kept the law, so God is going to bless me now. That's what the whole book of Job is about. We'll get into when we start studying the book of Job. Exalt in God. Turn with me to Romans 5. Romans 5, and I hope you're getting the idea about Romans now. Chapter 5 starts a new segment. Verses chapters 1 through 4 is the unbeliever. Chapter 5, verse 1, you start out with a believer. Now that you are in Christ, now things start changing. So let's look at verse 11. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 11. And not only this, but we also exalt in God. We exalt in God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. This is your status quo. Oh, people, in 04, I don't care what your circumstances, your life are. I don't care if you've been divorced many times. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you got a lot of money but are miserable. Raped when you were a child, neglected when you were a child, abused when you were a child, raped, neglected, abused as an adult, whatever it may be, having trouble with parents. I'm still amazed. I'm still doing a little reading in stress, anxiety, and depression. I will let you know I'm doing more of my reading and studying now in Job and other things, but I still got a few things that I'm not through reading, books that I've gathered up. I'm just amazed at the number of parents who have such control over their children and hurt them. And the sad thing is, a lot of the times in these things I'm seeing, parents aren't enjoying their children. They're losing out. The children are losing. The parents are losing. It's just a shame. It really is a shame. So exalt in God, not in your circumstances, not in yourself in the coming year, but just, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm in Christ, or I'm in the Father. The Father's in me. I have all these things, these 27 things, 28 now, that I have. And doggone it, I'm going to enjoy January the 1st. Now, I don't have very much. Maybe all I can enjoy is just a walk outside, if it's not freezing. And I'm going to start exalting in God. I'm tired of laying down and feeling sorry for myself, my conditions, my circumstances. I'm not making fun of you. Your circumstances are heavy. But it's time now. I'm not going to let them do that. I'm not going to waste another year of my life. I'm not going to waste another day. And if those people around me don't want to go with me, then that's fine. Because you can do it because God is in you and you're in God, exalting God. Let me give you another one. It's so important. So important. Coming off of what I just said, your life is hidden with God. Your life is hidden with God. Now, we studied this. We almost started with this on New Year's Eve several years ago, but now, or a couple of years ago, not several. Don't tell me several. It's just in my mind, it's a year or so ago. Okay. Colossians 3:3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Oh, people, how under Satan's lie we want others to like us. We want approbation. We want to be this type of thing. Lucy, in the series of Peanuts, she says, I do not care whether I'm popular. I do not care whether people like me or not as long as I'm popular. That's the way she worded it. And we care about these things. But people, your life's hidden. Don't look for the world to reward you. Remember the whole thing that we've been studying now. What is the basic instinct of man? Basic instinct of man is to be rewarded for the performance. To be rewarded for performance, and then added to that, punished if you do not perform, if you fail to perform. And so we want this reward now. We want it now. People, your life is hidden. The world isn't going to see you. You can look down as you go through life and all these people that don't matter about the plan of God at all, and the world just showers them with all these things, and dignitaries die, and boy, they have just 100,000 people there, and you know, maybe when you die, hardly anyone will be there. I was surprised the number of people that came to my mother. I didn't think there'd hardly be anyone there because most of my mother's friends had died. But we get into those kinds of things. Who's going to be at my funeral? Who's going to be at this? And who's going to recognize this? And all these kinds of things we get involved with. So an old Hank Williams song said he's going to have to pay people to cry because there's going to be no one to cry when he dies. And you might feel that way. But people, what I want you to understand is your life is hidden. Please understand that. Don't expect the front page write-up. Don't expect all of that stuff. And from your friends, your relatives, it's hidden. Let me remind you, the closest people to Jesus Christ betrayed him. They ran and hid. One of his close disciples betrayed him. One of his, just a one that he loved, a friend that was always with him, Peter, denied he even knew him. And the others hid out. Your life is hidden in God, with God here. So what does this mean then? Don't look around you. Don't listen to voices of friends for vindication about your life. Look at who you are in Christ. Please get up from sad 2004, 100 years later, 2004, and become who you are in Christ. Believe it. Know it, believe it, and live it. This be your New Year's resolution. Look who you are in Jesus Christ. Your life is hidden in God. But it doesn't stop there. Not only are you in God the Father, and God the Father in you, now get ready for the next thing under this point, point 28, I put it all under the same point. You are in the Son of God. You are in Jesus Christ. You are in Jesus Christ. John 14:20. Gospel of John. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Wow! No matter how you may feel, no matter the SAD in your life that you're suffering, no matter what it is or is not, that's happening in your life, please know and believe that you are in Jesus Christ and that He is in you. And then live it. And people, when I say live it, let me explain this very quickly. Please don't expect great things to happen. Don't expect great changes in your life, in your circumstances. They just may not come at all. There may not be any changes at all. The miracle will be inside of you. The miracle will not be in your circumstances. The miracle will be inside of you. While you remain in the same circumstances, you now have inner peace, purpose, joy, and the reality of your relationship with God. It's yours. That's what I mean. You are in Jesus Christ and He is in you. Well, I don't feel like it. And why would He want to be in a sinner like me? Why would He want to do this and that? Because you belong to Him. You're in Christ. And you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Look with me, if you will, at Colossians again. Please find in your Bibles, Colossians, and let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 25. Chapter 1, verse 25. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God, according to the stewardship from God, bestowed on me for your benefit. Now this would be the attitude of every pastor. That I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God, the Gospel. That is, now watch what the Word of God is. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the ages, from the past ages, hidden from the past ages and past generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, comma, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, not the Jews, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the confidence of glory. Wow. That's what's going on inside of you. Turn on the Academy Awards, and boy, everybody's there. I don't get on this. I don't know that I've ever watched Academy Awards, and I won't say how old I am, but in all the years of my life, I'm just not into it. But you see the promotions of it. And, well, they're wearing the diamonds and their clothes and their all this, and it's a glorious event. And then just different things happen in the Super Bowl and all the praise and all of these things. And well, I'm just not important. And even in local levels and various things, people get their badges, they get their recognitions, they get their this, they get their that. And you're thinking, I'm getting nothing. People, let me tell you something. The hope of glory of all history is you in Christ and Christ in you. Now, you can believe that or not. You can say, well, I'm just up here talking like some Ziegler, and I'm just trying to, kind of give a rah-rah speech. Or you can listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. If this is true, people, this isn't. If this is just a big promo to make you feel good about yourself, or this is truth. To whom God will to make known what is the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You believe that? Then start living it. Start living it. Here's the hope of glory. Here's your hope, your confidence. Christ in you. You in God, God in you. You in Christ, Christ in you. And there's nothing that people, let me tell you something else now. Get this down. There's nothing you can do to lose this. Nothing that's happened in all your past life. So you go into the year 2004. You go into this year in Christ. Christ in you. You and the Father in you. You're the hope of glory. All these things are going on. And you can't lose it. I don't know what 04 is going to bring in your life. But let's just say you fail some way. Don't let anybody say that you've lost the hope of glory. He's still in you. And nothing in the past is that. You cannot lose this. You cannot improve it. No sins or failures. Anything that happens in your life, you can't lose this. And let me tell you something else. You can't improve it. You can't go out there and work real hard for Jesus and get it better. In you is the hope of glory. Just remember that. And please remember, as we close out this study also, but you remember something else. Angels are watching you. You think no one's watching you. No one's really watching you. Nobody really cares about you. They just care about the important people. No, angels are watching how you're dealing with this. There's a book in the Bible called Job. It's 42 chapters. That's a long chapter. It's all about one man. And I want to remind you, he's not a prophet. He's not a priest. He's not a Jew. He's just a businessman. He's just a man working like you. He's a farmer, rancher. And he's just, that's what he is. And the whole thing is about him. People, that's you and that's me. They're watching. Now, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Boy, isn't that great? You're in the Father in you. You in Christ, Christ in you. But it doesn't stop there. Let me give you another one. You are in the Holy Spirit. You are in the Holy Spirit. Please look with me at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now that ought to set you off when you think about Romans. Romans chapter 7 is the great discouragement about trying to live by the law. And then Paul ends chapter that, but oh wretched man, chapter 7, with oh wretched man that I am, who's going to rescue me? And so you come to chapter 8, which is a great chapter on the Spirit-filled life. It's a great chapter on the Spirit-filled life. So Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Chapter 8, verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. See, your flesh nature died. Your flesh nature died. You're in now in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and if you're a Christian, believed in Christ, He does. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Now, how do we have it? We have it by believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you have at any point in your life believed in Jesus Christ our Savior, you have the Spirit in you. You can't lose it. He is in you. But you know what? Not only are you in the Holy Spirit. See what it says? However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is in you. That's the second part here. The Holy Spirit's in you, you're in the Spirit. I've given you passages for all of these. They're all important. Don't just concentrate on the Father. Don't just concentrate on Jesus Christ, which is what a lot of people do. You want to grab hold of all three relationships. I am the Father and me. I am the Son and me. I am the Spirit and me. God, the Holy Spirit's in you. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 2. Oh, what a great chapter. What a great chapter on the Holy Spirit, Spirit-filled life. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I've got to put together and just go through the great chapters on the Spirit-filled life. Chapters like Galatians 5, 2 Corinthians 3, Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capitalized, the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. We have received the Holy Spirit. He is in you. You are in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. Therefore, people, now let's put this together. Therefore, you have all the power that you need to be who you are in Christ. You now have all the power inside of you to get up in the year of 2004, well, for us older people, that's really funny to say that. You young people, it doesn't sound so quite so awesome, but it is. You have by faith, by just trusting in the Holy Spirit, because He's right inside of you, all the power to perform. Power. Boy, you've got the power to do it. How am I going to get up? How am I going to break through this stress, anxiety, and depression? Boy, I'm going to have to take drugs. I'm going to have to go to a psychiatrist. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to listen to 10 tapes a day. I'm going to have to... No, you're not. You have the power within you. If you'll just believe in Him and trust the Spirit to get up and live who you are. Here's the power to overcome stress, anxiety, and depression in your life. You are in the Father is in you. You are in the Son is in you. You are in the Spirit is in you. Let them do their work in you. Let them take hold of your life by faith. And just trust Him. Now, coming off of that last one, let's go to point 29. Want to make this point 29? The last point we had was you are in the Spirit is in you. Because we're slowly getting down to everyday life now. So under point 29, who you are in the Holy Spirit. See, we've been studying who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. Now I want to spend a moment with you, who you are in the Holy Spirit. Not only are you in the Spirit, and not only is the Holy Spirit in you, but you have several vital relationships with this Holy Spirit. Now, you have it also with the Father, and that's why I went through with the Father. You're encouraging the Father, hope is in the Father, trust in the Father, boast in the Father, all those things. We got all those things. We got some wonderful things in Christ, abiding in His love, and these kind of things. But we don't really emphasize enough your relationship with the third member of the Godhead. This comes very close to your daily life, where you and I live every day. Why you can overcome SAD and how. Jesus Christ has turned you over to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what happened. We have a little parable in the Bible by Jesus Christ. Most people know it by the Good Samaritan. So he got to the Good Samaritan, and all these religious people walk by, and here's this battered, beat-up man on the side of the road, and everybody walks by, kind of like they don't see him, so they don't have to stop and help him. And the Good Samaritan comes by, and the Samaritan is something that's abominable. Like it would be, what would it be like if there was a white man beat up and a black person were to come by? That's how, if you can understand that racial thing, that's the way Jews thought about Gentiles and the way Jews thought about Samaritans. They were just, they were dogs. And so here is this man beaten and left on the side of the road, and there's a Samaritan, this lowly dog Samaritan comes by and picks him up. That's Jesus Christ. Now, what Jesus Christ did, he cleaned him up. That's salvation one. Then Jesus Christ says, okay, I've got to go on and do some, the man in the parable, the Good Samaritan, I've got to go on with my business. I've got some things I've got to take care of, but I'm not just going to abandon this guy. So he takes him down the road to the innkeeper. And he turns him over to the innkeeper. When I was in Amsterdam with Amsterdam 2000, Billy Graham, I went to the Rembrandt Art Collection, which is where Rembrandt lived. He was here, and they just had hundreds and hundreds of originals. And I bought a copy of one where Rembrandt had painted the innkeeper, or the Good Samaritan, turning over this victim over to the innkeeper. It's a beautiful picture. But the innkeeper is the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus Christ does, he turns us over to the Holy Spirit. Now, come back in 2 days. 2 days is the time of the church. So he's going to come back. You take care of him until I come back. And that's what God has done. He's turned us over to the Holy Spirit. You're turned over to the Holy Spirit. He hasn't deserted you. He has not deserted you. Now, let me kind of go through some of your intimacies with the Holy Spirit. First of all, people, you're born of the Holy Spirit. You're born of the Holy Spirit. Get that in your mind. You like your mother? Now, don't say, do you like your mother more than your father and all that, but do you like your mother? Yeah. You're born of the Holy Spirit. Gospel of John, chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3. Not verse 16, but verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is spirit. You're born of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. People talk about drinking of Christ. You drink of the Spirit here, and you're baptized into one body of the Holy Spirit. The third, stay with me now on prepositions. You're going to have to think a little bit with me on prepositions. What was our second one? Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, the next one, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, let's take a look at how we're going to work through all of these things. Mark chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to have you turn there because we got to do a little work here. Baptized with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. You're going to have to think a little bit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, Mark 1:8. I baptize you with water, but he, this is John, I, John, baptize you, believers, with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So he, Jesus Christ, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now the Greek preposition looks like this, just so you see it, it's in, and we'll just put E-N. Or we can put I-N, the English word, in, I-N, in the Holy Spirit. Now, in water, in the Holy Spirit. So we got in water, in the Holy Spirit. Now watch me. Stay with me now. In water, in the Holy Spirit. One is physical, material. This is material in the material world. This is the material world. This is the spiritual world. The Spirit. In the water, you're identified in the water, material. In the Holy Spirit, spiritual. In the Holy Spirit. Identified with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, your Savior, look at the verse now, who's performing the baptism? Jesus Christ. And He baptizes you into the Holy Spirit. It's like the Good Samaritan turning you over to the innkeeper. He's identifying you now with the Holy Spirit. Baptism, to be baptized very simply and quickly without getting involved in a lot of study here, it means to be identified. And so you are identified with the Holy Spirit here. This is what you're identified with. Gospel of John 1. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 1. We just looked at Mark 1. Look at the Gospel of John 1. Gospel of John 1:33. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize, this is John the boy speaking, but I, John, did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, this is God the Father, he upon whom you see the Holy Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is to be identified with Christ and to be empowered in the Holy Spirit, both concepts are involved. Please understand that. A lot of people are confused. They think that baptism of the Spirit is simply being put into union with Christ, but you're also put into union with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Now, look at one more passage with me. I don't want to confuse you. I just want you to have the confidence that of your identification with the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Acts 11. Don't get off on a lot of arguments and go off. Just be relaxed and stay with the idea that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Acts chapter 11, verse 16. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptizes with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I have nothing. I don't want to get off on baptism. I have nothing opposed to water baptism. I do not think it's a ritual for the church. It starts dwindling out as you study the book of Acts. By the time you get toward the end, it's not there. It's not in any of the epistles, except that Paul says he's thankful that he didn't baptize anyone. And he says, I think I did baptize one or two, but I'm glad I didn't baptize a whole lot. So it doesn't carry that. But if people want to be baptized, if somebody wanted to be baptized, I'd baptize them. But I want to be sure you understand what it is. I believe that if a church is going to build a baptistry, if you're going to stay with the biblical understanding of what it's for, it's for the world. Water baptism is not private for the church. So the baptistry should actually be outside toward the street. It should not be inside. It's not a family matter. It's for the world to see. When Jews were being baptized, it would be so other Jews could say, Aaron over there, he believes that this Jesus is the Messiah. So that people drive by, well, look at there. There's old Charlie. He's getting baptized. Boy, he's going to become a Christian. All this type of thing. That's what it's really for. If you want to do it right. If you want to have, now, communion's for inside. Communion's for the family. That's for the family. But if you want to do water baptism, it's for outside. But my study's not here about water baptism. There's something greater than water baptism. It's a baptism, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, identified with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, or indwelt by the Spirit. Now, that brings us to the next thing. And we'll stop here because I'm not going to just rush through these and get it done. So we can pick this back up next week. So let's just close in prayer. And we've covered a lot tonight. You are in God. God the Father is in you. You are in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is in you. You are in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you. People, we've got everything necessary to get up in 2004 and live who you are in Christ. I'm not talking about getting up. Okay, let me give you an idea. Oh, I'm going to lose a lot of weight. So you get up on January 1, and boy, you're at the gym, and you work out, and you end up with sore muscles, and maybe strain yourself. But if you don't, you're in the next day, and next day, and all these things. I'm just talking about, I'm going to start living who I am in Christ. I'm going to start walking by faith. Don't expect big things to happen. It's different than even going to the gym. It's a funny example because even go to the gym, you're going to come back probably a little tired, a little sore. You're not going to come back tired or sore if you decide, I'm going to quit living in stress, anxiety, and depression and suffering from it. I'm going to start living who I am in Christ. Now, what you will start seeing is just a little inner peace, a little inner joy. What you're going to start seeing, which you're slowly going to start seeing, it's kind of like just slowly start seeing the pounds drop off. You're just slowly going to start realizing, you know, I don't hurt as much about what people think anymore. I'm not living for their opinion of me. And I'm just going to live my life. And I'm going to live it in my relationship with the Lord. And you're going to find yourself some things, some miracles are going to start taking place inside. Inside. And just like with losing weight, you're going to go maybe do a little bouncing back and forth. You're going to have a month you gain, lose, and people become discouraged. And, oh, I'll never do it. You're going to do that. You're going to do that in walking the Spirit-filled life, becoming who you are in Christ. You're going to bloody your nose a little bit. You're going to sin. You're going to fail. And you're going to have people judge you. You're going to have people attack you. Have a little snide remark. All this. Don't. Just like if I were talking about losing weight, don't worry about it. Okay, you gained a couple of pounds instead of losing this month, and you did all this work, all that work in the gym, and you don't become discouraged. I tell you the same thing spiritually. You just live each day, walking who you are in Christ. And if you sin and fail, just get up, get moving. If you hear people saying things, or the people just, that's fine. That's where you want to be with God. That's fine. I know where I'm going to be with God. And just keep moving in that direction. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are. It boggles our mind. We can't even comprehend why you would want to be in us. That's just boggling. We're thankful enough that you saved us and that you love us. But you're in us and your Son's in us and you sent your Spirit to us. And we're in you and we're in your Son. And we're in the Spirit. Wow. We're a spiritual being living in a material world. Help us to put things into perspective in the material world. Enjoy people instead of controlling them. Enjoy people instead of being controlled by them. Enjoying people instead of letting them pull us down. Serving one another. Start being transformed in the image of Christ. What an awesome God you are. Father, we thank you for tonight. In Christ's name.